In my preaching, I'm often pleasantly surprised at how clearly the Bible addresses contemporary issues. So on July 5th, before we left on our trip, I was here preaching on freedom and its relationship to the independence of our country. And it was just after the riots in Minneapolis. And I turned to Galatians to preach on freedom. And I was just thankful and pleased with how pertinent Galatians was and how perfect it was for steering me through the confusing events that were going on. I hope you do that. When there's events that happen in society, you go to the scripture to see how you should view it and where you should settle in and move out from there. And on that day, I preached to you that freedom is for everyone, that there was no difference between Jews and Greeks, slave and free, male and female. And that was radical to them. The Jews thought they were superior. Slaves were definitely a lower class. And certainly Jewish men were superior to Jewish women, to all women. And so even though that was then, thousands of years ago, here it is in our generation, this message needed, that freedom is for everyone. Racial justice, it's for all. We work as a church towards a day when all races will be treated with equal respect. But I went on in Galatians and found that freedom does not eliminate the need for restraint. He calls them to not use their freedom as a license, liberty to sin and to do wrong, but they were to use it to do right. And freedom is not anarchy. Freedom is not the right to do whatever you want. There are still a need for authority, for rules, for structure, for laws, and for law enforcement. There it is, in a contemporary issue. But God put His Spirit in their hearts, and that was the key to their freedom. Freedom requires a change of heart. For those who think that reforming our society will be sufficient to bring about racial equality, that will never happen. There has to be a change in how people think and feel. And so all those things were found in that book of Galatians. Well, this week, I arrive home from my vacation, and I learned that the governor has made a mandate that we all wear masks. And I understand that there's been quite an uproar in throughout our community, and there's a great diversity in our own congregation opinions about this. The elders and pastoral staff agreed that we should comply with the governor's mandate, but our attendance dropped by about two-thirds as people didn't want to meet under those conditions. So within our congregation, we have a great diversity, and I would say they're strong opposing viewpoints, and that's been all through the viewpoint of COVID-19. We should acknowledge that. Just realize we have strong and even opposing viewpoints about this subject. One side sees the need for us to submit to authority. That's biblical. And show loving compassion to those who would be greatly and adversely affected with their health compromised. I had an email that I was party to where the individual said, "My prayer is that our congregation we'll do this joyfully, truly showing our care for one another, and especially for the vulnerable members of the body of Christ." And I say to that, amen. Put on your mask. Lay aside your rights and your feelings and do it. But the other side has valid arguments. Government intrusion into our lives challenges our values. It restricts our freedom. And it could lead to even greater attacks on our values. And certainly there's a warning there to be considered. So again, I turn to the scripture to show me how I should view this and what should I think about it. And again, I must say how pleased I am with the clear direction the scripture gives us. So I want you this morning to think together with me about how the church is to act when there are diverse opposing points of view within its body. All right? Let's think about that together. How are we supposed to act when we find that there are diverse, opposing points of view. Well, here are the things that I found in Scripture as I went there. I found that unity is most important, more important even than the position you arrive at. But biblical unity is not uniformity. And diversity doesn't mean division. There can be unity there can be unity at the same time there's diversity and discussion. Secondly, I found humility, respect, and love are always to guide us. And thirdly, God is to be glorified in the midst of our disagreements, no matter how diverse and intense. So let's dig into that a little bit this morning. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and following. Shakespeare had his character in Hamlet ask the famous question, to be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler, and then he goes on, and debates in his mind two opposing viewpoints, and which would be the nobler of those viewpoints. Today we do the same with to mask or not to mask, that is the question. And which is the nobler? And each side has compelling rationale. Well, in the early church, the question was to eat or not to eat. That is the question. And in 1 Corinthians 8 and then again in 10, Paul addresses this subject. It was dividing the believers in the early church. They had taken positions on it. They were making judgments of others. They were hurting one another and creating division in the body of Christ. And it occupies multiple chapters in 1 Corinthians. Really, 1 Corinthians 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13 are primarily related to this subject. First in chapters 8 and 10, he discusses the issue. Then in 9, he talks about the use or restriction of his own freedom in it. In chapter 12, he talks about how much diversity there is in the body of Christ. And of course, chapter 13 is the resounding chapter on the importance and priority of love. 1 Corinthians 8, 1-3 is where we start. Now about food sacrificed to idols. We know that we all possess knowledge, but knowledge puffs up while love builds up. Those who think they know something do not yet know as they ought to know, but whoever loves God is known by God. So food, the issue was that food offered to idols was then later sold on a discount on the open market. And so some were saying, enjoy the meat. But others felt it was a participation in their old idol worship. Along with the meat came these attachments, this emotional engagement of having worshiped idols in the process. And Paul alerts them that knowledge will puff up, but love builds up. That's interesting. Paul wants us to think not about what we know and what we believe is right, but he wants us to move and be moved by love. Have you noticed that both sides can get a little arrogant on this subject? The whole thing of COVID-19? I felt both this week. I remember watching a person drive all alone in their car with their mask on. And I kind of said under my breath, really? Scoffing? How does he think he's going to get COVID driving alone in his car? But then I went into a store, and I hadn't been in the practice of wearing a mask. And I realized I was about the only one in the store not wearing a mask. And right away this feeling came, what are they thinking of me? Are they judging me? We can get arrogant on both sides. So let me say this, and I hope you'll hear each of my applications today. Okay, you've researched the subject. You think you're right. In fact, you know you're right. Now step aside from that knowledge and let love be your guide. Knowledge, he says, puffs up. But love builds up. Are you entrenching yourself in an opinion and saying, I'm right and they're wrong? Becoming a little arrogant about it? Or are you moving towards love builds up and looking for the ways that you can let love be your guide? Let's move on. Verses 4 through 6. Paul says, so then about eating food offered sacrifice to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live, and there's but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. Go back to verse 4 there. Paul says, we know that an idol is nothing, and there is no God but one. So Paul says there's nothing to worry about. So what if it was offered to an idol? That means nothing. Only God matters. It's not contaminated. Eat it. Paul clearly weighs in on the to eat or not to eat and tells him to eat it. But then he goes on. Verses 7 and 8. But not everyone possesses this knowledge. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat sacrificial food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to a god. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse if we do not eat, no better if we do. Well, now he moved a little there, didn't he? We know that not everyone can separate these subjects, he says. And when they eat, they still see it as part of their old pagan worship. And Paul seems to be saying there, don't eat it. So he keeps moving. Verse 9. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your rights does not become a stumbling block to the weak. And then again in verse 13, therefore, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, I'll never eat meat again so that I will not cause them to fall. Paul urges them to be careful about the exercise of their rights. And we hear that a lot today. I have a right. Well, in fact, he says, if the exercise of my right causes an adverse effect on my brother, in this case, to fall into sin, he said, I'd never eat meat again. Now, we need to pause here just a minute. Paul shows how in the discussion of eating, it could actually lead a person back into their idol worship. Now, that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about somebody getting upset with us or disagreeing with us. He's talking about somebody who might be so entrenched in their past idolatry that to eat that meat would be to re-engage in that idol worship. That's not our case with masks. No one is going to be led back into some kind of sin because of the mask issue. So don't take more out of this passage than what Paul has in mind. But what we do want to see is how Paul is urging people to have humility and to show respect and to be loving towards others. He says, I won't even eat meat again if that's the case. He's willing to change his behavior and act out of love for all. Those who do not like wearing masks, I'm one of those, need to see the issue of laying down their rights for the good and the benefit of others. But what he's getting at here is stay united. Don't break fellowship over this matter. They were getting into camps, the ones who eat and the ones who don't eat, and they possibly were throwing barbs back and forth, certainly making judgments about each other, saying that one was nobler than the other. And Paul is saying, no. Show respect, be loving, stay united, don't break fellowship over this matter. And so I want to just say, I hope you hear this. You that are here today, you that are watching on our YouTube, you have strong feelings about COVID-19. Others have equally strong and differing opinions, opposite views, in fact. Respect each other. Stay united. Don't break fellowship. Be guided by love. Chapter 9, Paul goes into the many ways that he does restrict his freedom for the good of others. Then chapter 10, he's back to the meat subject. 1 Corinthians 10, 23 and 24. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. Good advice, isn't it? I have the right, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. Verse 24, no one should seek their own good, but the good of others. There, I'm told what my attitude is to be in this COVID-19. I'm not just to seek my own good, but I'm to seek the good of others. And then the guideline. If we were to read all the verses, we'd find that Paul continues to go back and forth, weighing on the should I eat side, weighing on the should I not eat side. But then he comes to this verse, and he says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Do you hear that, congregation? Do you hear that? It doesn't matter which side of the argument you're on with COVID. The issue actually is secondary. The primary issue that matters is, are you acting to the glory of God? I'm remembering that email. My prayer is that our congregation will do this joyfully. My question is your attitude towards the opposing viewpoint glorifying to God. Are you building up his church or tearing it down? Is your attitude filled with humility and mutual respect? Is it building unity despite differences and diversity? Are you doing it all to the glory of God? Let me say that if we're speaking ill of others, ridiculing them, making judgments, blaming, creating relational distance, insisting that I'm right, those are not to the glory of God. If that's me or if that's you, admit it, acknowledge it, realize I'm not, my attitude is not to the glory of God, and then change. Now, chapter 12, Paul then keeps going into the wonderful diversity of gifts and members in the body of Christ. That's that great passage where he says, well, if everybody was an ear, how would we see? And one, the ear can't say, I don't need the feet. And that all these parts are arranged. And some of them that don't have any honor are more necessary and therefore given more honor in it. God is not interested in uniformity. Look at our bodies. Look at the various bodies around us. And as you're chuckling, think to yourself, God is not interested in uniformity. In our membership class, I would always have fun with this, and I would say, we do not tolerate differences in this church. And I'd always pause for a little effect. We celebrate them. We celebrate our differences. We celebrate when people have different viewpoints. Why? Why? Because it makes us richer. It expands us. It makes us greater than we would just be ourselves. If all the body were an ear, where would the smell be? There is unity, not uniformity in the human body. And so it is to be in the body of Christ. So again, hear this application. Differing views on COVID actually make us stronger. They bring more balance. Could we believe that? I always gulp a little when I say we don't tolerate differences, we celebrate them. I always gulp inside. I don't say anything to the class, but I say, oh Lord, what if you give me a test on this and you bring somebody really different than me? Will I celebrate that? Is there something to celebrate in the differences of our opinions about COVID? I want to suggest to you the answer is yes. And why? Because it forces us to focus on unity. It forces us to focus on respect and showing compassion. And it makes us think about how we can give glory to God. And that makes us a richer congregation if we will do it than if we all just had the same viewpoint. Chapter 13 continues. We know this chapter. The greatest of these is love. And it's one the wonderful attributes that it lists in verses 4 through 7. That love is patient. Do we need patience with one another today? Love is kind. Do we need kindness? Does not envy, does not boast, is not proud. There we have that again. Look at the next one. It does not dishonor others. We have no business dishonoring someone simply because they disagree with us about our response to COVID-19. It is not self-seeking. We were never taught in the life of Christ that we were just to look out for ourselves. If any man would come after me, he must deny himself. And that's our rights. It's not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrongs. Verse 7, 6 and 7, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Helen Alliance Church, let's love each other. These characteristics guide us, and they help to form a means of evaluating our behavior in these times. I want to close with something of an unusual reference from Nehemiah 4:9. Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem, and there was great opposition, and a physical threat of opposition was coming. And so Nehemiah responded. He organized the people. And here's how he verbalizes his response. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. We prayed to our God and posted a guard. Would you think with me a minute that maybe those are two opposing views on how to protect his work? There could be those who would just say, well, we just need to trust God. We just need to pray and everything will be fine. And others were saying, we need to take some precautions here. We need to make sure we've got some armed guards that are ready and prepared with their weapons in case we're attacked, like they say there are. And here were somewhat two opposing views. They're certainly, in many people's idea today, trust in God seems to be in opposition to taking the normal precautions. And Nehemiah unites both in a productive action for the good of the people. He posts a guard and he prays. Despite the diverse opposing views of COVID-19, for the good of our church, for our witness in the community, let us stand united, respecting others, choosing love to be our guide, and glorifying God in our actions and attitudes. I trust you will hear this. God has laid it upon my heart. I am your pastor, and I trust that you will hear what God is saying to us today through this message. Father, thank you for this day, the scripture, how pertinent it is. We're not the first to have conflicts in the church and diversity of opinion, and yet it's very clear how you want us to be united, respectful, motivated by love, and giving glory to God in all that we do. I pray that everyone will check their spirit and their attitudes, and that we will grow closer. Social distancing will lead to relational intimacy as we care for one another and seek to build each other up. In Jesus' name, amen.